Friends and loved ones gather at the graveside. Someone says a few nice words about the deceased. A minister reads some passages from Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But we are afraid. What happens to us after we die? The essential question all human beings ponder. There is coming a time when these graves will open. We're going to talk about that essential truth today on Beyond Today.
Join our host Gary Petty and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
This is the Green Lawn Cemetery in Milford, Ohio. It's like a thousand other cemeteries. If you walked along and looked at the headstones, you would find a former governor, a Civil War general, a Methodist minister. Here you would find the famous and the common. The lady who died of old age, the baby who never had a chance at life. Here you will find the religious and the agnostic, joined together in the one common human destination, the grave. When I was 12 years old, my dad came to tell me that my little brother David had died. He then said he understood what it means that nothing can separate us from the love of God. I didn't fully understand what he meant at the time, although it has profoundly affected my life ever since. Sometime early in our lives, we begin to understand that everything we love dies. A pet, a grandparent, a friend who is no longer there, a brother. We eventually begin to understand that we, too, must someday face death. Although we tend to shove that to the back of our minds until we're at a funeral. We're faced with the loss of someone we love. Why is it that it is only at funerals that we ask those most important questions? Does life have meaning beyond this moment? And what happens to me after I die? With the theory of evolution, many people believe that this is all there is to life. But when you look at the universe with its design and its beauty, you realize that there is a creator. The Bible reveals this creator is an all-powerful, loving God. But why would a loving God allow good people to die? Why did he allow my brother to die? Please understand, the world that you and I live in, this isn't the world that the creator designed for you. You see, in the Garden of Eden, our first parents, Adam and Eve, decided to live life by their own standards. The result? All this misery, all this death. The bad news is that all human beings are living ways of life that lead to death. The Creator didn't create this mess, but He is going to send the solution. The good news is that He is going to send Jesus Christ back to raise the dead. There is hope for people in these graves. There is a future for them. I now realize what my father meant those many years ago when he said he now understood the love of God. He realized that God had a purpose for the life of his infant son in the future. He understood that God had a purpose and love in his life. And he looked forward to the day when these graves will open. In your Bible, the book of Revelation, John writes about when Jesus Christ returns, and the dead who follow him are resurrected. It says the rest of the dead do not live again until the millennium is over. What does he mean by the rest of the dead? These are all the people who never knew Jesus Christ. Can you imagine a time when these graves open, and millions, billions of people come out of the ground, startled, looking around, wondering what happened? Maybe some of your loved ones will be in that resurrection. How can you be in that first resurrection when Jesus Christ returns? How can that be part of your future? Well, first of all, you have to accept that your lifestyle is wrong, and you're going to have to make some changes. You're going to have to turn to God with all your heart, with all your life. You can leave nothing behind. You have to go to your Bible and find out what your Creator has in store for you. It's not going to be easy. You're going to find you have a lot of wrong-headed ideas and self-destructive ways that simply have to change. There is hope for these people in the future. There can be hope for you in the future, too. You can be there when Christ returns and meet Him in the air. It is time for you to grasp your future. In the next segment, we're going to talk about the Great White Throne Judgment. So don't go away.
After someone you love dies, life seems a waste. If God exists, why did He make us live only to go through the pain of dying? Astonishing answers are in your free copy of What Happens After Death. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. No one you know alive on earth has ever died and come alive again. Only in the Bible will you find out what really happens, because Jesus Christ did come back from the dead. He did say, "What will happen to you? You will live again, but here on earth." Read Jesus' shocking statements about what happens in your free copy of What Happens After Death. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of What Happens After Death.
We've returned from Greenlawn Cemetery to our Beyond Today studio, where we're joined by minister and regular guest and a good friend of mine, Randy Stiver. But first, I want to offer you our free booklet, What Happens After Death. It's absolutely free, and this booklet will help you go to your Bible and help you understand what God's future is for you, what God's future is for those who have died, that there is hope, and there is hope in the future and in afterlife. You know, Randy, the book of Revelation fascinates a lot of people, where John was given all kinds of visions about the future, but there's also visions in there about the future of the dead.
Well, there are, Gary. And you know, the real question about the book of Revelation, really the question about God at all that plagues many people, is why would a loving God send so many billions of people who were born at the wrong place at the wrong time to hell? You know, in the traditional view of hell. In the book of Acts, the fourth chapter, there's a statement that says there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, other than that of Jesus Christ, of course. And yet, traditional Christianity has no mechanism to reach back to get historical humanity, those who have lived before and never even heard the name of Jesus Christ, let alone those who may have heard His name but never really understood the meaning of life and the purpose and role of Christ as Savior, never committed their lives to Him, and yet they're consigned to a hellfire? That's the great question. That has probably driven some people to atheism, I would think, Gary.
That's the most important question that any thinking Christian can really deal with and think about. Why would a loving God do that? Well, what, you know, the Buddhists, the Hindus who never heard Christ,
that's right,
why did they spend eternity in hell? Now, most Christians believe that there is a resurrection from the dead at the return of Jesus Christ, when the dead in Christ, as it says in the Bible, are resurrected. I think many would be fascinated and shocked to find out that in the book of Revelation, it talks about, at the end of the millennium, another resurrection called the Great White Throne Judgment.
It does. Now, chapter 20 of Revelation is really a capstone chapter on understanding the Bible entirely, because it puts a time frame to everything. It comes right on the heels of the second coming of Christ covered in chapter 19, and then it begins, chapter 20 does, with an account of the removing from circulation of Satan the devil, who is a real being and who is responsible for this perverted earth that we live in today and the society that we have. He's removed from circulation. Christ has returned. There is a first resurrection. That is, those who are Christ, it is coming,
Gary.
The saints, in other words. They then, it says, live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years, otherwise known as the millennium. And then it says the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. Now the question is, who's the rest of the dead? Well, the rest of the dead is historical humanity. Those are the people who never understood the meaning of God's way, never had an opportunity or a chance for salvation, who died and who are assumed to be lost by traditional Christian theology. But in fact, God has a plan, and at the end of the 1,000 years, they come back to a second physical lifetime.
Now, we'll get some letters on this, because some people will write in and say, well, you're teaching second chance salvation, that everybody gets a second chance. But that's not what you're saying at all.
Not at all. There is no such thing as second chance salvation. God says, I set before you life and death, therefore choose life and live. He gives us an opportunity to choose life. And we have to choose. That's, you know, that's up to each individual. And we can choose death if we want, but we don't recommend that. The opportunity to choose life means you also have to know what you're choosing. You have to have your mind open to what God is doing and how it pertains to you directly and from the Bible. Consequently, the great white throne judgment that you spoke of, the great white throne judgment is the opportunity for mankind that didn't know before to finally know the truth of God and have a clear-minded, full understanding of what it meant and to be able to choose life through Jesus Christ and live.
See, I think a lot of people think the great white throne judgment is sort of God sitting here sternly and humanity's before him, and there's two levers, you know, one goes to heaven and one goes to hell. And that's not what it is. If you're worried about a loved one who has died, who never knew Jesus Christ, if you've worried about and wondered about all of humanity throughout history who has never known Christ, and yet the Bible clearly says that that is the only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. If you know of a baby that died and you've wondered what happened to that baby, well, there is hope, because there is a time when the dead will be raised physically after the millennium, and those people will be given an opportunity to know Jesus Christ, to know God the Father, and to choose life. Now, there is a time, there is a lake of fire for those who choose death, but everybody gets an opportunity to choose and gets an opportunity to know their Father. So what's it going to be like in that great white throne judgment?
Well, Gary, what it's going to be like is this. Christ has been ruling the earth literally for 1,000 years, right on the earth. The earth will look much better than it is today. It will be prepared for a vast infusion of humanity with this resurrection of the rest of the dead. And this is really going to be the most amazing thing. Your little brother David, my little brother-in-law Eugene, are among literally billions upon billions. If you imagine, you went to one graveyard, Gary, but if you went to the cemeteries in every country, in all the countries of the world, and then all the cemeteries that we don't know where they are anymore, and the people that were died at sea, and those who were blown up in Hiroshima and Nagasaki with the atomic warfare and other kinds of warfare, suddenly all those people who never understood God's truth, who never had an opportunity, a clear-minded opportunity for spiritual salvation, will come back to life. And the bones will add to bones, and the sinew and the flesh out of, there's a chapter, Ezekiel 37, that is where them dry bones song came from.
Yes.
And it describes that marvelous time, and they'll all stand up, which is what resurrects means. They'll stand up, they will be alive, they will live a lifetime, they will have the chance to choose. No one is without a fair opportunity, because God believes in ultimate fairness.
Can you imagine what that's like? Billions of people coming out of the grave, standing around looking at each other and wondering what happened. Can you imagine what that's like?
It would be amazing.
There is hope for this sick and dying world. The majority of humanity who never had an opportunity to know the true Creator will have a future opportunity to choose salvation through Christ in the great white throne judgment. This seldom known truth is the great hope for billions of the living and the dead. Randy, thanks for being with us today.
Pleasure, Gary.
In the next segment, our Beyond Today panel is going to discuss the future of the dead, God's promise of the resurrection, and the hope that you can experience in knowing God's plan for your future. So don't go away.
After someone you love dies, life seems a waste. If God exists, why did He make us live only to go through the pain of dying? Astonishing answers are in your free copy of What Happens After Death. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. No one you know alive on earth has ever died and come alive again. Only in the Bible will you find out what really happens, because Jesus Christ did come back from the dead. He did say, "What will happen to you? You will live again, but here on earth." Read Jesus' shocking statements about what happens in your free copy of What Happens After Death. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of What Happens After Death. Does God really exist? Scientists now say you can prove it. What's the best way to rear your children for success? Questions need positive answers to the world's greatest issues and your personal ones as well. That's what you'll get when you get your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free subscription. You'll be glad you did.
When you go to beyondtoday.tv to order your free booklet of What Happens After Death, we will also send you your free subscription to The Good News Magazine. This is a very important magazine that can change your life. Here you will find articles on how to have a better marriage, how to have a better life today, and how to look forward to that time when Jesus Christ returns to bring His Father's kingdom and give you eternity. Now, we're joined today by our Beyond Today host, our panel, Steve Myers and Darris McNeely. We're looking at what the Bible says about life after death. You know, for hundreds of years, the most common Christian teaching has been that Christians go to heaven. But the overwhelming majority of humanity, who has never known the Jesus of the Bible, goes to hell. Most people would be shocked to find out that that isn't what the Bible actually teaches, is it?
Not at all. The Bible doesn't teach. God's word is very plain when you see exactly what it says. It says that death is more like a sleep. The people die, they go to the grave, and they await the resurrection. And over and over and over again, the Bible is very clear. Daniel 12, verse 2 talks about those who sleep in the dust. Jesus Christ says Lazarus was sleeping before he went to wake him up and literally resurrect him back to physical life.
And when he resurrected him, Lazarus didn't talk about what had happened to him while he was asleep for 3 days.
Yeah, he didn't talk about heaven, he didn't talk about hell. He was dead. Ecclesiastes says the dead know nothing. And so it's very clear. Death is like sleep and you're awaiting the resurrection.
You know, Gary, it's a quirk of human nature that we want to continue this belief in people going either to heaven or especially to hell. It's interesting the part about where people are going to be in hell. I think it's about time that a lot of people begin to really examine their ideas and their beliefs about that. The idea that God would consign people to an ever-burning hell fire and watch them suffer, and people would be in heaven watching that suffering in hell, and even watching over people on earth going through the suffering of their own hell that they create in their lives, just isn't reconciled with the idea of a gracious, merciful God. It goes back, it reminds me of this old sermon from early colonial America of sinners in the hands of an angry God.
Jonathan Edwards.
Edwards.
Yes.
And the idea that this is God is angry and that He is going to consign people to a hell fire. And I think that anyone who wants to continue to hold that idea really needs to consider it in light of what the Bible says and probably ask themselves a few questions about what their motive might be from a perspective of raw, natural human nature.
Well, you know, when you look at the Bible, and most Christians believe that there is a resurrection when Jesus Christ returns, a resurrection from the dead. So it does. The Bible does talk about a resurrection. Jesus and Paul both said that we're asleep. Mm-hmm. And then there's this time where Jesus Christ comes back and those who know Him are resurrected.
Right. 1 Thessalonians talks about that very plainly, that the dead in Christ will rise. They'll meet Christ in the air and return to the earth to rule the earth for 1,000 years. So certainly it talks about what's often termed the first resurrection. Those who are believers will rule the earth with Christ. It's pretty plain.
I've often wondered why you need to come be resurrected if you're already in heaven. That's a question I've often asked myself.
I know, and I've listened to theologians try to reconcile those conflicting ideas. I remember hearing one famous preacher say one time that he looked forward to going to heaven, but then within the same paragraph of his discussion, he was also talking about meeting Christ in the air in a resurrection. And he had the two concepts that are really irreconcilable when it comes to what the Bible says, but he was trying to explain things, and he really made a mess of it.
I was at a funeral one time, and a minister talked about the deceased person and read 1 Corinthians 15, which is the resurrection chapter, and then literally at the end of the sermon said, "I do not know where this person is." And it was just so sad that this man got up, and very sincere man, and did not know what God's plan was for that person.
Absolutely. I think people forget the plan. You mentioned 1 Corinthians 15. It talks so specifically about that, that if there is no resurrection, then Christ is not risen, and we have no basis for our faith. And it's totally washed away then if you don't understand that.
Right.
Yeah, I've heard those myself, even over family members, and seen that reaction. I remember when my uncle died, who was not a professing Christian, and the minister didn't know exactly what to do with him and how to preach over his dead body. My own father, who was, again, not a professing Christian. He was a good man. He had his good traits and was a fine, decent man. But in the last stages of his life, as he was dying of cancer, I remember his brother sending his own pastor by my dad's bedside to talk to him because my uncle was concerned about my father's eternal life. My father didn't give any type of a deathbed confession to this minister, and he died. I preached the funeral for my father, and I had the opportunity to say to his brothers and sisters there and others that did not understand things that there was no need to worry about my dad and be able to explain from the Bible that my dad has a place in God's plan, mm-hmm. and it's very clear and it's very plain, and it gave hope, as the scriptures always do, give hope to help deal with the grief, sorrow, and pain of death.
It doesn't have to be confusing. It's very plain. God has a plan.
Yes.
For every step, believers and those that don't believe, there's something in God's mind that he has for each.
Well, I think it's very sad to think that people die, and you know, the overwhelming majority of humanity dies and goes to hell to be punished and tortured forever and ever. It creates a worldview that is not the worldview of God, and it's not the worldview that he wants us to have.
Well, think of different churches' motivation. They want people in other countries to hear the name of Jesus, yeah. or they're going to be burned in hell forever. But that's not a biblical teaching. If you believe God is love, which the Bible defines God as love, the Bible also says God doesn't respect people. You know, he loves everybody. Now, if he loves everybody, why would he cause some to be born in nations who don't believe in God, who don't believe in Jesus, who could never possibly hear the name of Jesus? So, in a sense, God is condemning them at birth to burn forever.
Yes.
That is not a loving God. How can a real Christian profess to believe that?
So what we know is that if there is a great white throne judgment, when all of humanity who has not known Christ is resurrected and given an opportunity to choose. Now, this is important, an opportunity to choose, because today, if someone has an opportunity to know Christ, they are judged today.
Right.
There is a lake of fire for those who choose wrongly. So what do we say today to someone who says, you know, I wish to know Christ, I wish to be part of the first resurrection, because at that point now, they do have an opportunity to know God, and they are under judgment. So what do we say to someone that says, okay, I want to be part of that first resurrection?
I would say to that individual that they need to examine their beliefs and make sure that those beliefs square with the scriptures. And if they don't, to really come to a point where they can admit that they've been wrong. If they find proven in the scriptures what we've been talking about here today and see that it doesn't square up with their beliefs, then to examine and to have the humility to admit that they have been wrong, and then to begin to seek God. And God says that those who seek him will find him eventually. Mm-hmm. And begin to seek those answers, seek that truth, and to seek that relationship with God and the comfort that comes by knowing the purpose and the plan of God.
Yeah, Christ put it very simply, ask, seek, knock. Yeah. God may be calling you. If God is calling you, we need to respond. Right. Now's the time. If he's opening that door to your mind, to the truth, you need to respond to that truth. And that brings some pretty tough words to mind, especially in our society today. God calls us to repentance. He tells us in 2 Peter that he doesn't wish any that should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I see my faults. I see my mistakes. I want to do things God's way. Mm-hmm. And that's what God calls us to the truth of his way.
You know, no one wants to say anymore, I am a sinner and I need forgiveness, mm-hmm. and I need to be changed to become a child of God. That's what this is all about. It's about becoming the child of God.
It's if you admit that you are a sinner, it's a saying to that you are admitting that you are a sinner, but putting yourself in the hands of a loving God.
Right. Not an angry God.
Not an angry God.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right. Because it's not that he does not want to punish us forever. He wants to give everyone an opportunity to be a child forever.
He desires that all come to eternal life.
Right. God wants us to be his children in his family forever in the kingdom of God. What an awesome plan.
And so those in the first resurrection are changed to become his children. The rest of humanity who have been cut off from God because Satan is the god of this world have an opportunity to be resurrected after the millennium for an opportunity to know and actually choose. The resurrection is God's promise to all those who grasp their destiny as the children of God. We'll return to the Green Lawn Cemetery to talk about your destiny, so don't go away. Gentlemen, thanks for being with us today.
After someone you love dies, life seems a waste. If God exists, why did he make us live only to go through the pain of dying? Astonishing answers are in your free copy of What Happens After Death. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. No one you know alive on earth has ever died and come alive again. Only in the Bible will you find out what really happens, because Jesus Christ did come back from the dead. He did say, "What will happen to you? You will live again, but here on earth." Read Jesus' shocking statements about what happens in your free copy of What Happens After Death. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of What Happens After Death. Does God really exist? Scientists now say you can prove it. What's the best way to rear your children for success? Questions need positive answers to the world's greatest issues and your personal ones as well. That's what you'll get when you get your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free subscription. You'll be glad you did.
As I stand here in the Green Lawn Cemetery in Milford, Ohio, I think about what the Apostle Paul wrote so many years ago when he said, "I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are and remain until the coming of the Lord, by showing no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven, and with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Jesus Christ is returning to raise the dead. He and the Apostle Paul both say it is sleep. Imagine a time when people who have died and are simply in a state of sleep suddenly awaken to be rising in the air to meet Jesus Christ, who is coming to this earth. This can be your future. How can it be your future? First, get your Bible and read it cover to cover. Look at what the Creator has for you, what He wants for you as His child. You know, if you're a Christian, maybe you better ask yourself the question, have I been playing church, or am I a real disciple of Jesus Christ? When we look at the book of Revelation at the very end, here is a description we get from the Apostle John about what it is like to be in that resurrection, to be with God. "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." God created you because he wants children. Are you willing to grasp the future of what God has created for you?
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.